beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smoshing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Verloc, and I am your host, Tom Verloc. Welcome to my show. Tonight's podcast is called Psionics, Exoteric versus Esoteric Society. Well, the entire subject of the occult is incredibly misconstrued. A greater majority of people are inclined to believe that all that is symbolic is a cover-up by the elite or secret societies, with this interpretation in the mind of the general public that might resemble something like, you know, one of the scenes out of a film like The Da Vinci Code, with all manner of, you know, twists and turns and labyrinths and enigmas. Of course, this mistaken view of esoteric knowledge is quite understandable. I mean, the word occult is translated in layman terms to hidden, and for the most part, the greater majority of society has been schooled in the exoteric curriculum as opposed to the esoteric teachings of the wise men. But I'm going to clear up some of this entanglement of terminology and perhaps demystify the mind fog of woeful ideology. Then I will draw a comparison of what we call today psionics. So without further ado, let us begin. People in the Christian communities are pointing to every oddity that they see online, from SNN to MSM, from the far left as being a direct influence of the powers of Satan. Well, this emerging mentality isn't surprising, with things like, well, billboards depicting a man in women's lingerie. But of course, I see something entirely different when I look at that very same billboard image. Yes, there is symbolism in such a billboard image of a man wearing women's lingerie. There is also an outright command and an attitude of in our face, a darkened will telling the observer to accept that which is unnatural to what our common sense tells us, or what our minds would ordinarily dictate to us. However, more than this, I see an occult symbolism being, well, rather abused. Albeit, a lot of what I have seen as modern-day occult via the media and out of Hollywood is a rather misguided interpretation of esoteric teachings. Let us consider the man in women's lingerie for the sake of simplicity here, and as a contemporary example. The image is representative of the legendary hermaphrodite, a Greek depiction of a being who is both man and woman in the same body. However, this symbolism is not intended to be taken literally. And of course, I know, special interest groups realize that we will take these images literally. It is meant to be recognized symbolically in ancient teachings, however. And I'm not talking about lingerie, I'm talking about the hermaphrodite. This symbology of the hermaphrodite here, for example, is also seen on the first tarot. I'm referring to the original tarot. That is, the tarot as a book, and not as the contemporary tarot cards of the New Age gypsy or fortune teller. I might save myself the trouble of explanation if I were to refer to it as tarot with a capital T. But first, I want to ensure that you understand me. Alright, so in the first tarot with a capital T, we have a man and woman standing to either side of the legendary hermaphrodite. And above this hermaphrodite is the face and godhead of the initiated magician. Surrounding these personifications of the cosmic all in their individual and separate forms of life, human beings, the Godhead magician, man and woman forming the ultimate being, the hermaphrodite in symbology, and so on, are the four elements eternally present. And above the magician is the fifth element, known as Akasha. Or in metaphysics, we might refer to Akasha as the ether. The original purpose of these symbols is an attempt to convey meaning to the pupil or student of mysteries, the apprentice of magic, but in a way of symbolism. So what I am trying to tell you is that the occult is not truly hidden, but rather we are looking at a language. I mean, in a sense, in a manner. I mean, your occult is about as hidden as computer programming code. Not to be incredibly silly here, but think about sitting down to look at a web page. I don't know if you've ever done that. Take a look at a web page and then click on the view setting to look at the code of that web page. Look at the internal coding that created the web page. Well, if you didn't know what the hell all of that gibberish is, from meta tags to style sheets to PHP programming, JavaScripting, well, you'd say it was dark sorcery and absolutely of the devil's making. But indeed, you do know what it is. Or at least you have an inkling of what that code with all the funny symbols and numbers might mean. But as you see, it is code. The same is true of that which we call the occult. It is not hidden, truly. It is a language of symbology intended to convey a message on a level beyond our ordinary daily language and reasoning. And the student of the occult, the would-be initiated magician, is expected to meditate and practice what his applied knowledge he or she may interpret and discover for him or herself, the attainment of wisdom. It is about the pursuit of wisdom, but it is understandable why most people today believe that the occult is absolutely and fundamentally evil. This is due to the greater majority having been instructed in exoteric knowledge, as opposed to the true esoteric teachings of the wise men and the ancestral magicians. Of course, what you see today with the special interest groups running amok is hardly going to convince anyone who's been taught in the exoteric system through our various institutions that there is a shred of worthiness in that which is the occult. Oh, it is all dressed up in sinfulness to keep us from looking at it for what it really is. A rather elaborate decoy, if I've ever seen one, and rather shameless how these groups have taken symbology and perverted it. We saw the same thing happen when Nazi Germany stole away with the Tibetan Swazi. Yes, I know it is more regarded as the Hindu symbolism of the whirling void and has been interpreted in many other ways as well, but it was Tibetan initially, and Tibetan Buddhism is not what people today believe it is. That's another decoy in my opinion. As well, the swastika is still used today to mark temples on maps in Asia. So perhaps over here in the West, our entire thinking is very, very different from what other parts of the world think. We in America tend to believe that our thoughts reign supreme around the planet, but this is not so. As you will know, the disharmony in the occult community is not new. Battles between wizards and sorcerers is an epic tale going way back in time, so rarely ever told literally, but instead indoctrinated indoctrinated in the minds of the public through pop culture and paid-off publishing houses. And we often know behind these publishing houses are three-letter organizations. We are indoctrinated into systematic theology. The media, and before that, the radio, is a means of broadcasting acceptance without criticism to that media, to the multitude, to us. We are the masses, are we not? Yes, while that is all rather enchanting to know, I believe my listeners tonight would like me to get on to the point here. We are all being taken for a ride by a bunch of lunatics. Psychotics rule the world, and morons operate the switches of society for their sociopath masters. The originality of the world of esoteric knowledge has been splashed with blood. Let me pause here for a minute and say, when I say splashed with blood, it reminds me of something. The original meaning of the word or the phrase, to be blessed, once upon a time, in origin I'm talking about, to be blessed meant to be covered in blood. Moving on. Society and its knowledge, its true knowledge of the esoteric teachings, has been obscured by the drying of the blood of innocence and clouded our thoughts by making us all pathetically outwardly oriented, so much so that we have lost our ability of the original occult focus. They have got the planet by a ball and chain cytocracy and applied socioeconomics for the continuance of perpetual warfare. And you know who's profiting, don't you? Now, so where does psionics fit into all of this symbology and globalism? I mean, after all, my podcasts are dedicated to keeping alive the knowledge and teachings of psionics as they were passed on to me by my mentor before me. So where does psionics fit into global symbology? Indeed. Well, it doesn't. There are no shackles around the legs of a psionics operator. There are no rules for a psionics operator. There is nothing to hold back a psionics operator from pursuing his own destiny. Absolute freedom is yours. The world of symbolism can be emphasized or suppressed by your machine magic and your psionic focus exercised powers. Having said that, I do believe a study accompanied by contemplation, intellectual contemplation, academic study, but also meditative retrospect and contemplation on the world of symbology is also equally important to know, and I think it does help in the long run, even if you are a machine magic magician. Well, you want to know how you can do what you want with psionics. Well, please read my books, listen to my Audible downloads. As a side note here, I want to let you know I am working on making sure that I have both written books and audio recorded books on all topics, as I get to these many topics, for everyone to enjoy. I have not overlooked our disabled audience, and I am building designs which can be used by people with less ability or handicaps to accommodate the handicap to the best of my ability. I'm even working on a prayer board for people who might only have one hand, and so on, and other instruments. And that's one of the important things of having audiobooks is people who, these days, there are many people who have visual problems, or some people are blind. And I'm going to provide as much as I can in every product that I build, that it will be available to everyone. I'm a one-man show, though, with some help. So I do appreciate your patience for the past 2 years of building this new faucet of perpetual perpetual knowledge and enlightenment against the powers of perpetual warfare. Alrighty then, the importance of this podcast is to remind my listeners not to be lured into awe and all the smoke and mirrors the controllers are attempting to enchant us with, but instead meditate on an inward trek to your inner self and then branch outward with your studies with psionics knowledge and do what you wish to do with your life today, starting now. The world is ours, but only if you want it to be. If you enjoy these podcasts, please patronize Verloc's Laboratory. And I really do enjoy hearing from my fans after you have read my books or enjoyed my audiobooks or my instruments. So try something new tonight at Verloc.com/shop. And thank you for joining me tonight on Planet Verloc. Until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is Tom Verloc, signing out.